The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, we're looking at the week trending, and I'm joined by Donal O'Donoghue, the Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment, and the psychotherapist from Maynooth Counselling, Helen Vaughan. Welcome to the show, folks. We're going to start with something that's probably near and dear, at least to most people who are into technology's heart. It's the idea of smart speaker recordings, okay? Hello, Siri. Hello, Google. Somebody out there is listening, and it's not just the machine. Donal, tell us about it.
Well, this is something that came up. Bloomberg highlighted it this week that Amazon, Apple and Google all employ staff who listen to customers' voice recordings from their smart speakers. So we're talking about Siri, Alexa, all those voice apps. Now, personally, I've got an Alexa. I absolutely love it. But what came out and that was really interesting is that each of those companies employ staff whose job it is to review our recordings. So the thing that's interesting about this is while smart speakers are technically always hearing, they're not typically listening. So when you wake them up with your Hey Siri or you wake them up with Alexa, they start listening. Obviously, they take your commands. But at that point, that data has been recorded and is then analysed and reviewed by people. And one of the things that was kind of interesting is that one of the Amazon staff who was interviewed about this said that they like to share amusing voice clips with one another in an internal chat room.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. Hi, yeah. Siri. I've got an itchy rash on my butt. I mean, who's going to... That's the kind of crazy stuff that could go anywhere.
I've come in after a few socially responsible beverages and had a couple of conversations with Alexa. And... you know, it's kind of scary to think in the age of GDPR and personal privacy and your data protection and all that, that, you know, potentially people are listening to those conversations. And one of the other things...
Not only listening, recording them and keeping them and listening back to them and then sharing them among the Amazon staff. I'm like, that's not okay with me.
I feel a little bit violated by it.
And would you go back to talking to the wall after a few drinks?
I just wouldn't talk at all. I wouldn't have one of these in my house. It doesn't interest me anyway.
You do. It's in your mobile phone.
That's only if Siri is on. Siri is off, so she doesn't interrupt my life.
Well, that's what we're led to believe.
Is it an Android phone?
No.
Okay, because if you have an Android phone, I think if you just start to say, hello, Google, it'll go for it, you know?
Yeah. So, I switch off all those things. I switch off notifications, noises, ringers, all off.
Totally
just
off the
grid.
Yeah, you do. You've got the option to go into settings and to switch these things off. But remember, they default to on. So if it's something that
so if I switch it off and switch it on again, it's probably all on again.
It could well be. The other one that I thought was really interesting in this story is that some of the staff had an uncomfortable situation where they were privy to recordings where they heard potential attacks or assaults happening. But the view from Amazon was that it wasn't their place to intervene or to contact authorities. So it's a really interesting one in the age of personal privacy and data protection.
I think it's horrific.
It's a little bit invasive.
There's so much wrong with that there's someone listening to you through a device in your house.
They're hearing. They mightn't be listening.
But if
you see, that's too finicky for me.
That's an interesting ethical divide, though, in technology, is if you did hear something where something bad could be happening, they say it's not our place to intervene.
Surely you have a duty on a human level to help protect someone if possible. But then I don't know how much after the fact they're listening to these things. And also I think they don't know who they're listening to.
Exactly.
So they don't know that your name is X and you live in Y.
Exactly.
So I don't know, maybe they can't intervene on that level.
I don't know. It's a strange ethical question. Not as strange to me, though, as another story which is doing the rounds, which is that New York is threatening prison for people who don't get vaccinated. Okay, which means if you don't go and get your MMR, which... I totally believe in vaccines. I think everyone should get them. But if you didn't, they're saying that they're going to potentially arrest you. Helen, what do you make of that? Is that police state? Is that something?
That's too much. I totally believe in vaccines as well. I just think, why give a child a fatal disease when you can avoid it? Even though I know they're painful for babies briefly. And well, because we have a statement here from the American Physicians and Surgeons Association, and they don't believe in this, you know, diktat, they call it, in terms of threatening jail or prosecution, because they think you do have a right to either get it or choose not to get it. But then with all these outbreaks, I'm like, well, what do you do about that? How do you get people to vaccinate and protect their children, even if they don't believe they should? I don't know. I'm not quite sure how you enforce it or how
well,
you...
Yeah, we were talking about this on the show recently, where in New York they had put a ban on bringing unvaccinated children into congregations where there was groups of 10 or more people, or they couldn't go on public transport. And that really
strikes me as kind of yellow star type.
But how do you know who? Yeah, you're wearing a badge to say you're not vaccinated, and if you're not, you're probably not wearing the badge.
That ruling was overturned by a state Supreme Court judge. But this new one, I think, I mean, there has been a fairly serious outbreak where 250 children. Mostly in the Orthodox Jewish community who have an anti-vaxxer kind of standpoint. There has been a fairly serious outbreak there. So they've declared it as a public health emergency. So it does feel like a step too far, but equally, you know, it's scary stuff, and it does pose risk to other children. And
I think not letting them into school or creche or stuff like that to me makes sense, because you've got children in those creches and schools
that are denying them education. You see, this is the weird thing.
You're also denying them the right to health, the right to well-being.
But it's not a guaranteed thing that you would catch this. I mean, before there was vaccines, there was loads of kids who lived and never caught measles. So I'm saying, like, I'm a believer in vaccines. I totally believe in them. In fact, vaccines are the biggest public health advancement in the history of the world. More than 80% of the people on this earth are vaccinated. But for those who aren't, to segregate them and then to either threaten imprisonment or deny them childcare or education, is that really the right way to deal with it?
But if your kid's threatening other kids' health and safety who've been responsible and taken proper precautions, well, that to me isn't fair. I don't want your child to threaten mine because of your belief. Set up your own creche with your own unvaccinated kids hanging out.
There's a wider issue there, definitely. And It's one that's very emotive, but it's pretty frightening. What they did in Australia, I think, was that they said, look, it's your choice whether you vaccinate or you choose not to, but you won't get the equivalent of child benefit, or your children can't go to public schools or creches or whatever like that if you choose not to vaccinate. So it was a less heavy-handed way of ensuring compliance.
This does seem too heavy-handed, like threatening prison. Then what are your children doing?
Threatening anything. I mean, imagine if they said you can't have a child benefit if you're a single mother. Imagine if you can't have it if you're some other category of something where it's the parental decision or a parental oriented thing, because the kid doesn't choose anything. Like, a child doesn't go up and say, I'm not going to get a vaccine, I totally don't believe in them. They don't have any of the power or agency to make that conclusion. So why would you ever have anything where they're the ones suffering the punishment? Is that what we've come to? Punish the kids?
No, I guess you're trying to punish the parents by denying them their benefit or whatever.
Yeah, and I think as well with this order, just to kind of weigh in on the side of the New Yorkers here, the view was that it was punishable. It's a misdemeanor, so punishable by fines, forfeitures, or imprisonment. It wasn't necessarily you're going straight in the slammer.
Okay, we're going to move on to another story. It's a quick one. A man has withdrawn a €60,000 injury claim after photos of him bodybuilding and playing football were shown in court. This was a guy who he was a footballer, and then he had this claim for a personal injury, but then on Instagram had shown a massive body transformation, which I have to say, from the pictures, I mean, I would forego the €60,000 award if I could do a transformation like that. The guy looks great. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and he's a young guy. This is an 18-year-old chap from Swords, and to be fair, he was involved in an accident. He and his dad were, I think, moving some furniture in a van. The van struck by another car. So after the accident, he found, as many people do in the claim society we live in, 7 hours later, he went to hospital with some pain in his neck and his upper back. Sounds like whiplash. The challenge was, as you said, when the claim went to court, the solicitor, the barrister for the defence, pulled his Instagram pictures, which showed him preparing to paraglide with his dad. It showed this amazing before and after body transformation where he's been obviously working out hard in the gym. And part of his case was saying that the crash had caused a life-altering situation where he had to give up the gym, give up football, and then he's got pictures of him as captain of the local football team. So he got hauled across the coals and told that he told the court a pack of lies, and subsequently then had to withdraw his claim for 60k. Is it just indicative of the claim society we live in and why we pay
and
so much money?
Media. The fact that social media is everywhere, that anything you put up there will suddenly appear in a court case that you think has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It seems like a poor decision, but he's so young, I feel bad to be hard on him.
I feel bad for the insurance premiums that I pay because of bogus claims, so my sympathy is not too strong.
I think the life-altering change was something like what Peter Parker got when he was bitten by the spider, because he went from this skinny little kid to this ripped machine-looking guy. We got a few texts in. Someone said, I'm visually impaired and I find the voice interactions on my phone invaluable. I'm happy to take from the smooth. The rough with the smooth, I should say. That's from John in Dublin. And then Jason in Galway said, if you don't put a seatbelt on your child, should you be fined? Well, I think you actually will be fined on that one, if memory serves me correctly. But now we're going to move on and we're going to talk about racist chocolate. Helen, what is happening?
I think the world's gone mad. So this is Waitrose, a supermarket, a posh supermarket in the UK, who's put out three little chocolate ducklings. So one's milk chocolate, one's white chocolate and one's dark chocolate. The milk one, I think, is called Crispy. The white one's called Fluffy and the dark chocolate one is labelled Ugly because actually it has speckles of paint, but probably edible paint on it. And there's been an uproar that this is racism because the dark chocolate duck is called Ugly. And someone posted,
I thought that maybe it was like the speckled look was like some kind of slag off on, like, if you had like a Gorbachev birthmark or something. I mean,
seems odd, but to me it didn't seem racist. But apparently customers were looking at them going, you know, they didn't like the look of it or it didn't seem right or, you know, of all the options, why would you call the dark duck ugly? But I think it relates back to a song, although I'm calling it a nursery rhyme. Is it a nursery rhyme, The Ugly Duckling? Mm-hmm. Where the ugly duckling was a brown ugly duckling who was slagged off by the other ducklings and kind of excluded.
Mm.
And that, I think that's the theory, but I don't know if the supermarket has actually said that.
Donald,
the supermarket has apologised and withdrawn it.
Yeah. Would you eat some racist chocolate?
I wouldn't eat racist chocolate, but I don't think this is racist at all. I think, and actually, Helen, you made a good point earlier when we were chatting about this. It obviously goes back to the nursery rhyme, but then you wonder about the nursery rhyme. Is the nursery rhyme where the ugly duckling, you know, is there a racist connotation with that? I don't think there is.
Exactly.
I think it's a story about change and transformation and, you know, the ugly duckling becomes a swan and finding your place in the world and all that kind of good stuff. So I was surprised that that Waitrose came out. They apologised and they relabeled the packaging. And I just think it's PC gone to a whole different level.
Let's talk about something else that was in the area of something that could have caused offence. In this case, it was a lot more overt, though, as Israel Folau's Rugby Australia contract was going to be terminated following an anti-LGBT post. On Wednesday, it read, warning, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, idolaters, hell awaits you, repent. Only Jesus saves. Now, should someone lose their sports contract for posting something like that online?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's done it before. Like, this isn't the first time that he's been spoken to about doing that. I just think you can't write stuff like that anymore. Like, when you think of the young people that hear that, see that, and obviously look up to him as a rugby player, and then internalise that, whether consciously or not, you're basically telling, you know, that certain people are better and certain people are not worthy or whatever. And I just think that's so damaging.
On the issue of what he said on basis of sexuality, though, I don't know that the Rugby Association said anything about having a go at atheists or drunks who might be struggling with addiction.
What's a fornicator? Well, is that not
what
everyone?
About thieves? Well, what if that's really an anti-poor statement, or idolaters, who Christians would consider almost every other religion one of them? That Jesus saves, is, if you're a follower of Islam, is that offensive?
Yeah, and I thought that Rugby Australia handled it quite well. In fairness, this happened, as you were saying, Helen, this happened about a year ago as well, where he put up a very similar tweet where he basically said, you know, the only response to somebody being gay is to repent or else you're going straight to hell. So he was kind of reprimanded for it at some level back then. But this time, Rugby Australia and the Waratahs, the club that he plays for, they've come out very strongly against it. They've said, look, this is everybody. Now, he's a devout Christian of some. I think he was brought up Mormon.
Should he be allowed to have stupid thoughts, though?
He's allowed to have whatever religious views he wants, but he certainly can't damage their sport and their brand by ramming these type of beliefs down people's throats.
So yeah, why post it on social media? Think what you like, you know, whatever kind of person you are, but why post it when you're someone that's in the public eye? People will obviously listen to you, take it on board, and you're just going to pass on these kind of thoughts and feelings to other people unnecessarily, whether you're gay or whether you're not.
Say if you reversed it. Say if someone from an LGBT organisation said something that was very disparaging towards rugby players, that they're all entitled toffs or something like that. Would that be something that they should be fired for? I'm just wondering, why is it that the sexual nature of this that overlooks things like people who might not believe in any God? They didn't say anything about the atheists.
I think it's picking on anyone, isn't it?
Well,
it's picking on anyone and unfairly saying they'll go to hell, when in fact that's not your right to say that about other people.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Australia will have similar legislation to ourselves. So we've got the Equal Status Act, which protects people under the 9 grounds of discrimination in Ireland, which include, you know, your sexual orientation and so on like that. So, look, I think, and it's a shame, he is an incredibly talented rugby player, one of the best fullbacks in the world. But he has through this, and it's not just one tweet. Like, he's, if you look through his social media feed, there's a lot of this kind of, you know, very, very strong and very, very derogatory and divisive rhetoric.
I don't think it's a shame. I think if you're going to be horrible to other people, you don't have a right to be in the public eye like that, and in a job that pays them, I'm sure.
Deplatform them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you.
Nobody cares what you say to your three followers.
It's a waste of talent, but I completely agree that they've acted swiftly and sent a very clear message. And some of the other rugby players came out, like James Haskell, one of the English players, came out very strongly and said, listen, you're a great rugby player, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you're a bit of a jackass. And and O'Brien O'Driscoll tweeted about it. And I think rugby as a sport is trying to be more inclusive and stamp this kind of stuff out.
Because I've friends who've grown up playing rugby and have never been able to tell their teammates or friends that they are gay. Like, I think rugby has been... I don't know if it's slow to give people the space to come out, but I think it's been a very masculine environment. And things like this, I think, are good that we're turning a corner to say that actually saying those kind of things isn't acceptable and that we need to be inclusive.
Yeah.
We're going to move on, by the way. I'm just going to look at another headline out there. Meghan Markle and Harry want to celebrate the birth of their baby in private. I was kind of wishing that they might celebrate their whole life in private, but no one seems to be with me on that one.
I'm with you
but
on
elsewhere,
that
elsewhere, interesting one, from sex tape to solicitor, Kim Kardashian wants to be a lawyer. Helen, you've got to be really, really pleased
just
with this.
No. I just think she should feck off and go somewhere else and stop being in the public eye and don't be a lawyer.
This is a family show. Kim is great. No.
I'm not a fan of her. She represents everything I dislike about the world. Just how you look, how you act, reality TV, horror. Just, I hate everything.
How she looks?
Yeah.
Come on, like, just her outfits, her makeup, that over the top, it's all about how you look. It isn't.
Yeah,
I'm grabbing attention.
Claws out, Helen.
Look,
when is the fur going to start flying in this room here?
I can't believe I'm...
No, if she's intelligent and wants to further a cause, yes, but I don't agree with the kind of person she is.
I think she did. She got someone, not excommunicated, but...
Only because she's well known for being a reality TV star, for being...
She's from a very fine lawyer stock, may I add.
Well, true, her dad was a lawyer.
Got O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. So look, I think, and being a recruiter and coming from, like, when we look at the world today and people have got to be able to change their careers and a world of lifelong learning, I'm with Kim on this one. She is the only person.
You guys are friends.
I need to say this. She is the only person that I know that is going to choose a career in the legal profession and take a massive pay cut. So I admire her for that. But I think, look, you know, fair play to her. If she's found something that she feels passionate about rather than posting duck face selfies on Instagram, I think it's a good thing.
I'd like to see her, though, go to college, sit in a classroom with 200 other people and learn that way, whereas she's actually going through a company and doing it that way, where she'd be mentored privately. Like,
of course,
a college experience
will.
Is all about learning with other people, having peers, having fun, maybe even some...
I want to say a big thanks to Donal O'Donoghue from Sanderson Recruitment and Helen Vaughan from Maynooth Counselling for joining us on the Friday panel.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.